of the features of Matthew's gospel is that he quotes the Old Testament so often. And one thing that would have to be said about Matthew is that he was a man of the Bible. And I know the Holy Spirit could influence his writing and do all the quoting, but you know, God uses instruments as they are. And I believe Matthew had given himself diligently to study the Old Testament. At least 50 Old Testament quotations are given, and over 75 Old Testament passages are alluded to. So over 125 different times, Matthew refers to something an Old Testament writer said. One of his favorite writers was Isaiah. And in this first chapter of Matthew, he quotes one of the phrases from Isaiah's prophecy. Look at verse number 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, the setting of this prophecy of Isaiah involved a troubled King Ahaz. King Ahaz was terrified that the kingdom of Judah would not only be invaded but be destroyed by Syria and Israel. And in this hour of fear, God gave him a promise through the prophet Isaiah. It was a promise concerning the lineage of the king. The kingdom will not be destroyed, and the kingly line will not be done away with. A deliverer, a new king is on the way. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, this name for Jesus is one of the more unfamiliar titles of Christ. I think it's because of its infrequency and its being seldom found in the Bible. Three times this name Emmanuel is read in Holy Scripture, twice in Isaiah's prophecy, and then here in our text in Matthew chapter 1. I believe as well we could say that this is not only an unfamiliar name of Christ, but it is an unused name of Christ. He's always referred to as Jesus. Even the Holy Ghost will say, "And Jesus said unto them." And this is one of the unused names of Jesus. One writer has suggested that it might be because it has more to do with his nature, who he is, God with us, than it does to his namesake or his title. But though it is an unfamiliar name, and though it is somewhat of an unused name, it is not a name that is without interest. It is an unveiling, uncovering name. It gives us, as J.C. Ryle puts it in his notes on Matthew's gospel, the name Emmanuel takes in the whole mystery. God with us. God with us. With the help of the Lord, I want us to study this name for a few minutes tonight. And I want us to begin with what I would call the essence or the meaning of the name Emmanuel. The essence or the meaning of the name Emmanuel. Of course, notice it is interpreted for us. Often in the New Testament, things are explained. I hear people say, "I just can't understand the Bible." Well, if I took all the passages that I didn't understand and sent them over to the side in parallel with those I do understand. I understand enough to know that I'm in trouble with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much explained and so much presented in a very clear way. And so this is interpreted for us. The name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let me just say in passing that in that it is interpreted, this must be a name for all nations. It is not just a name for the Jews. It would not be interpreted. It is not just a name for Hebrew personnel. It would just say Emmanuel, if that was the case. But the Holy Ghost is identifying this coming Savior, this Messiah, as not only one for the Jews, but one for Gentiles, yea, for the entire world. And so it is interpreted that we might understand that salvation is for the Gentiles also. Now, may I emphasize two things as concerning the meaning of this name Emmanuel. First of all, notice the phrase is God with us. Let's begin by studying that first word, God. Emmanuel means God with us. Now, the character of God is presented in this name. This is a title then representing the deity of the Lord Jesus. He is God, yea, God Himself with us. And so it certainly represents His character. Now, look at that name Emmanuel. It ends with E-L, Emmanuel. The name E-L is the Hebrew name for God throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes it is given in a more diverse manner. For instance, you run up against the name Elohim in the Old Testament. E-L-O-H-I-M. What about the name God revealed to Abraham? El Shaddai. Or another name that is used, El Elyon. This is one of God's names, Old Testament names, and it is given to Christ. Emmanuel, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New Testament. The Yahweh of Israel is the God of the church. And so the character of God is presented in this name Emmanuel. Could we say we learn of His being? Emmanuel, God with us. The being of God is set forth. Then I believe those words with us, Emmanuel, God with us, not only teaches us of the character of God presented, but the condescension of God is portrayed. It's one thing to say God. It's another thing to say God with us. The God who is in a class all of His own. The God who is independent of His creation. The God who needs no props and needs no crutches. He who exists in and of Himself and was doing fine in the eternal ages without you or me. Yet the text says His name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Then there's going to have to be a stooping down of God. There's going to have to be a condescension. There's going to have to be a humbling of God down to where we are if He will be with us. Of course, we know that this definitely happened in the hour of Christ's birth. The incarnate Christ, God in flesh, came down here to be with us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The essence of His name then, the meaning of His name, is that God's character is being presented and God's condescension is being portrayed. I read of a Moravian missionary who went to the West Indies to preach to the slaves. He found it almost impossible, however, to preach to them once he got there. They were aroused early. They worked hard all day in the fields. And when they returned at night, they could hardly roll themselves over in the slave quarters to have him speak to them. So he determined that somehow, by the grace of God, he was going to give the message of the gospel to these slaves. And on a given night, it came to him, the only way I can reach these slaves is to go and sell myself as a slave and become one with them. And so he sold himself as a slave and slept with them and worked with them and conversed with them and was used of God to win many of them unto the Lord through his life and testimony. Similarly, God, seeing that we were so enslaved by sin, determined that he would reach us. He determined that he would bring himself to us. So he became one of us. God with us. That is the meaning and the essence of the name Emmanuel. I want us to think further tonight, not only on the essence of the name, the meaning of the name Emmanuel, but secondly, I want us to think on the excellence of that name. Or, in particular, I want us to think of the manifestation of that name. It would not mean much to us had God not come down to be with us in Christ Jesus. And so the excellence and the manifestation of this name is revealed in Christ on the earth. Now, allow me to let our thoughts be somewhat from shore to shore for a moment. I have tried to think about the entire life of Christ on earth. And I don't think you want me to preach the whole life of Christ in one service. Several of you are yawning already, so I don't want to take you too far. But I believe the excellence of this name, Emmanuel, has to do with his presence here on the earth. Go yonder with me, please, to that little stable area beyond the inn. There's no room in the inn. And so Mary, in the presence of animals and humble, base environment, Mary gives birth to the Son of God. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him, the Bible says, in a manger. Look in that manger with me for a few minutes. And there in that manger, God is with us. Bethlehem is graced with his presence. God with us. What about in his youth at Nazareth? Let's go down to the synagogue where his family took him off. We see a lad there in the synagogue who from the outward view looks like all the other children of his day, of his era. But oh, that one seated right over there with Joseph and Mary. Is God with us? God with us at Bethlehem. God with us at Nazareth. What about his early ministry in the Galilee area? Let's go down to the River Jordan. There, John the Baptist has a congregation. He's immersing in the Jordan. And as Jesus came walking down the shore, John the Baptist turned and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." God is with us at this baptismal service. God is with us at the manger. God is with us at the synagogue. God is with us now in the Jordan. You remember John tried to get him to baptize himself instead of Jesus being baptized of John. As Jesus was baptized, God is with us. We could move through his ministry. Allow me just to mention a few things. I see him in Decapolis, that area known as the Ten Cities, the area of the Ten Cities, healing sick folk, opening blinded eyes, raising those who were afflicted. Look at him yonder as he casts the demons from a man who has been driven from his home and driven from his society. All that can be said is God is with us. God is with us. Go yonder to the Capernaum area, where he took as his residence and the basis of his ministry. Watch him walk on the water as the disciples are fearful in the storm. God is with us down at Capernaum. Look at the 5,000 plus the women and the children eating of the abundance of bread and fishes there near Capernaum. Look at the baskets of fragments that remain afterwards. I say to the little lad as he walks away, "Son, God is with us." Look under, if you would, to Bethany as he visits the grave of the tomb of Lazarus. Martha met him and said, "Lord, if you had just been here, we wouldn't be in this shape. Lazarus wouldn't have died." Mary came out and bowed at his feet when he called. Finally, they came to the sepulcher where Lazarus lay. After Jesus wept, and after Jesus prayed, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And Lazarus came forth, though bound from head to foot in grave clothes. He did come forth, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Somebody might ask, "What is happening around here?" Oh, calm down, dear friend. God is with us. Go yonder to Gethsemane. See him praying under the old olive trees. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." As he intercedes in your behalf and in mine. See him as his sweat turns to great drops of blood. Somebody said, "This is an unusual event. This is a strange character." I say God is with us. Look under the Calvary's brow. He's borne a cross. He's carried the burden as far as he could go. Now they've nailed him to the cross. They've spit upon him. They've plucked out his beard. They've woven a crown of thorns in ridicule and in disgust. and in unholy disdain towards him, hear him as he cries from the cross, "It is finished!" Somebody said, "My, what in the world is happening?" I'll tell you what's happening. God is with us. God is with us. 3 days and 3 nights, his body lay in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. When his work in burial was completed, he came out in resurrection power. All of his disciples were alarmed, somewhat disturbed. Mary even wept at the sepulcher because she couldn't find him. Oh, in her hour of crisis, she hears a voice saying, "Mary, Mary." Oh, she's at his feet before she knows what's happening. And he's saying, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. But you go and tell the disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. I say to you, Mary, God is with us." And for 40 days and 40 nights, he proved himself to be alive with many infallible proofs. Look at him as he walks down that Emmaus road. Two of the confused and befuddled disciples are staggering in their chaotic condition. They can't figure out what's happened. But as they walk down the road, someone gets close to them and joins their fellowship. And as he talks to them, and as he walks with them, their hearts literally are set on fire. They burn within them. And after they realized that it was Christ, one of them said, "We should have known. My heart was on fire while he talked to us. God was with them." I say to you, the excellence of this name, Emmanuel, is manifested in his presence on the earth. Bethlehem will never be the same. Jerusalem will never be the same. I'll tell you, no place in the world, if you've ever been confronted with his presence, will be the same, because God is with us. I believe there's even a further manifestation of his excellence. Not only is the excellence of his name manifested in his presence, God literally visited this earth in the body of Jesus' flesh. But furthermore, the excellence of this name, Emmanuel, is manifested in his person. Primarily, I've talked about his presence, his being with us. But I want to emphasize for a moment God being with us. Now, to learn of God, one must learn of his attributes, of his traits, of his characteristics. Similarly, for you to know me and for me to know you, we learn one another through our outward traits and attributes. And then the more time we spend with one another, the more we begin to understand one another's ways. And Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, was nothing more than a reflection of God. He said to Philip, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one," he said on another occasion. And so let's think about his person for a few minutes. God has many great attributes. Let me enumerate a few of them. One of the basic attributes of God is his eternality. Or if you prefer, simply, the eternity of God. He always has been. He is, and he forevermore shall be. God is eternal. That is one of the attributes that distinguishes him from this system, this world. He operates in the sphere of the eternal. This world operates in the region of the right now. God is eternal. Watch it then. God is with us. Then can I say it? And I trust say it reverently. Eternity is with us. Eternity is with us. What about that great attribute known as God's immutability or His unchangeableness? God is with us. Then where God is, eternity is. And where God is, immutability reigns. He's unchanging. I say to you, He is with us. God is with us in His very person. Look further to that great characteristic of God known as His faithfulness. Brother, from the garden till this hour, man is known for his unfaithfulness. Then how will we have a proper record of God's faithfulness? Emmanuel, God with us, Christ has come in His eternality, in His immutability, in His divine faithfulness to reflect God here in this world. I guess one of my favorite traits of God is His omnipotence, His power. The power of God has come down. Jesus is here, God with us. That's what the text says. It's fulfilled. He's with us. The power of God incarnate. Omnipotence in human flesh. A similar kindred attribute is that of His omnipresence everywhere at one time. One of the things I've often had difficulty with in preaching the condescension, the incarnation of Christ, we often use this terminology, but it's really not correct. We say He left heaven. How is one who is omnipresent going to leave heaven? Huh? He manifested Himself here on the earth. But believe me, He was still omnipresent. Everywhere. What about His omniscience, His knowledge? He knew everything, all things. Simon Peter admitted this. Jesus asked him 3 times, "Lovest thou me?" He fiddled around the first 2 times. Jesus asked the question, but on the 3rd time, he said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Why are you asking me all this when you know all of it?" I say to you, when Jesus came to this earth, eternity came into time. When Jesus came into this earth, immutability came into a changing scene. When Jesus came into this world, faithfulness came into a scene of unfaithfulness. When Jesus arrived here, the full power of God was in human flesh. When Jesus was here, He was everywhere while He was here. And when Jesus came, all of God's knowledge came with Him. How about the goodness of God? They made it look like He was a criminal. But hanging yonder on that middle cross is not a criminal. He is goodness in the flesh, the embodiment of goodness, the goodness of God. He couldn't do anything wrong. He couldn't do anything evil because He was God with us, and consequently, He was 100% goodness. What about His grace? When Jesus got here, grace got Him. A law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I said, I want grace. I love grace. Give me grace. It's in Jesus. Run to Jesus. Claim Jesus. Thrust yourself on Jesus. He is the personification of grace. Hallelujah. Mercy. Look at him yonder as a boy. You can't understand it fully. I can't grasp it. But there goes mercy. He's God with us. What about love? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. Sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Oh, listen to me, brother. He is love. We say funny things. I don't think we think through half of them. But, you know, we see a little old baby. The Bible says about a little old baby that they are liars from the womb. We say, oh, how precious. How precious. Oh, I just love that little baby. If somehow we could get the picture, the text is revealing Christ in his birth, in his early infancy. We say to a little child, oh, you're just so loving, you're just so sweet, you're just so precious. Look at this one. This is love incarnate. Love has been born. Love will live. Love will die. Love will come out of the grave. Love will give you and me hope in the eternal ages, because Christ is the very love of God. What about his patience? God's patient. But Dad, look at Christ. You're looking at patience. He is patience. Forbearance. Long-suffering. He is that. What about holiness? Oh, my. God is a thrice holy God. Holy in the Father. Holy in the Son. Holy in the Spirit. Run to Bethlehem's manger. Run to the temple at his circumcision. Run to the Jordan River at his baptism. Run to the wilderness in his temptation. Run yonder to Galilee in his ministry. Run to Calvary as he dies. Run yonder to an empty sepulcher and behold him in resurrection power. Run yonder, if you will, to 40 days of immeasurable manifestations, wonderful exhibitions of God with us, and an ever-sounding cry, holy, 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 and you will in no way insult his character, because he is holiness in person. God with us, holiness with us. Justice with us. God is just. He's right. And he's going to do right. He did right when Jesus came. He did right when Jesus died. He did right when Jesus got out of the grave. He did right when he let Jesus sit down at his right hand. He'll do right when he casts sinners into hell. He'll do right when he lets us in heaven on the merits of Jesus' blood. He is a God of justice. And you look to Jesus and you're looking at justice. I'm talking about the excellence of the name Emmanuel. manifested in his earthly presence. It's manifested in his eternal person. All this is well and good, but what benefits do you and I derive from this name? We've looked at the essence or the meaning of this name, Emmanuel. We have meditated on the excellence, yea, the manifestations of this name, Emmanuel, God with us. Before we leave, I'd like to mention the experience or the ministry of this name, Emmanuel. This name has a role to play in your life. It has a role to play in my life. Somebody said, well, how is God with us? Well, let me mention two areas. And it's difficult to summarize in two realms of thought, but I'll do my best. God is with us in salvation. Now, there are a lot of great doctrinal offshoots in this great theme of salvation. But God is with us in all of them. Let me begin by saying that God is with us in regeneration. I just preached recently from Ephesians chapter 2, 8 sermons from that chapter. My, what a text on salvation. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. How will we ever enter into God's blessings? How will we ever enjoy the benefits of God in Christ? We are dead. How will it happen? Regeneration is the only answer. He must quicken us. He must make us alive. God is with us then in regeneration. In that hour of regeneration, God works in us repentance and saving faith. Can I say, God is with us in repentance? My. Man by nature is a rebel. But God is with us in granting us repentance, isn't He? Bless His holy name. God is with us in faith. In faith. This text means more to me than it ever has before. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, the faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God is with us in regeneration. God is with us in repentance. God is with us in faith. God is with us in justification. Be justified means to be declared righteous before God. He does not look at me in my merits. He looks at me in the merits of Jesus. Justified. God is with us. What about the great truth of redemption? The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God is with us in redemption. God is with us in forgiveness. God is with us in adoption. You know, there are three ways you can get into the family. I said, hold it, Brother Todd. You can only get born in. That's the only way. No, that's one way. You're born into the family. That's how you get in. You marry into the family. Huh? That's how my wife, who was a Bradley, became a Hayes. She wasn't born a Hayes. She married a Hayes. She got into the family by marriage. My girls got into the family by birth. There's a third way you can get into the family. By being adopted. Oh, brother. He's given us His name. He's bestowed upon us His resources. Everything we have in Christ Jesus. I say to you, this is the experience of the name Emmanuel in our lives. We can experience God with us in salvation. The poor sinner out yonder tonight, or if you're here in this service and you have never received the Lord Jesus, you cannot claim the benefits of this name because God is not with you. He is with us by His Spirit. But may I say in conclusion tonight, we can experience and know the ministry of this name, Emmanuel, God with us, not only in salvation. God is with us. We can know it in sanctification. And I use that word rather broadly. That entire world of development from the time we're saved until our homegoing. Allow me to call that sanctification. That's a big world. God is with us. Now, what is it that God uses to make us like Christ? This sanctifying process of being conformed to the image of Jesus. Well, God uses all things, good and bad. All things work together for good to them that love God. Let me enumerate a few things that God is with us in sanctification. As we toil, God is with us in our toil for Him. Somebody said, well, I just feel like I'm not accomplishing anything. I just feel like I'm wasting my time. Nobody in the class has thanked me lately. I just get to sing every other service now. And they didn't even have refreshments after I preached. Hey, don't become alarmed. Don't throw out the flag of hope and throw all your dreams to the wind. God is with us in our toils. What about our trials? God is with us in our trials. Somebody said, oh, it's all praying for me. I feel like God's about a million miles away. Well, you don't operate on your feelings. God is with us in our trials. Even when the disciples were out there in that storm, guess who was walking along out there beside them? He's with us in our trials. Could I say He's with us in our troubles? And I use this word somewhat generally as well. Our big word today is pressure. Pressure. Oh, I'm under so much pressure. And we got it from the medical world because anybody that goes to the doctor, the first thing they say, have you been under any pressure lately? Oh, my soul. Who ever told any of us that we could go through life without pressure? I'm just going to have to get me another job. I'm just under too much pressure. I guess you think everybody else works trouble-free jobs. Oh, it's like, was it Angela or Leith that told this on me when they were down in the grammar grades? They were all telling what their daddy did. One of them said, oh, my dad doesn't work. He's a preacher. He's with us in our troubles. Hey, let me throw this at you. God is with us in our temptations. Now, some of us wouldn't be here tonight if He wasn't with us. Shipwreck would be inevitable in ourselves, but God is with us in temptations. Some of you have cried yourself to sleep of late. Hey, God is with us in our times of tears, in our sorrows. This verse came to me this afternoon in a special way. A man of sorrows. acquainted with grief. That's what it, he is with us in our sorrows, in our tears, in our timidity, when we're fearful and timid, in our terrors, when we are so terrorized and tormented in the thought world and emotionally, when we have thorns in the flesh like Paul had, in our physical afflictions, God is with us. May I add, when we're thirsting for more of God, God is with us then. I read of a black prisoner in Africa taken as a prisoner of war. He had a little charm around his neck, and when it was taken from him, he became very frenzied with grief and begged that they would give him that charm back. Finally, after he convinced them that he would even cut off his right hand and sacrifice his hand to get that charm back, they wanted to know, why is this such a treasure? They gave it back to him, and he opened it up, and it was just a little leather case, a simple looking object, with a slip of paper on the inside that had some Arabic words scribbled on it, or letters that stood for God. That's all was in that little amulet, that little charm. God, the name. I thought when I read that, all he had was the name. His name is Emmanuel, God with us.